What's up? Hey! Welcome to Blues Library Podcast. I'm Ashley and I'm joined by my lovely co-host Lexi.
Hello!
And we're here to not talk about fucking bugs. Woo!
Oh. Alright, just a heads up. I am currently dog sitting, so I've got four dogs in the house. So if there's barking or extra noises, I apologize. Not much I can do because no matter where I put them, they're going to bark. It's just the way it goes, unfortunately. So, spoiler warnings. Obviously, we're not spoiler free. If you haven't read these books, just don't listen because we'll ruin the end. I mean, if you haven't, though, and you, I mean, we give you pretty much everything that's in the book. So, I mean, it's up to you, really.
Especially with this one.
Current reads since our recording scheduling is a little off. We don't have current reads today. So no worries there. And then trigger warnings are insects and death. So if any of those cause you problems, trigger you in any way, just go ahead and leave now. We won't hold it against you.
Especially because the last book was fought with the bug.
There's not as many bugs in this one, like very minimal, but still, they're still there. So the book we are going to be talking about today is Our Violent Ends by Chloe Gong. It is the second in the These Violent Delights duology. All right, take it away with the quote-unquote brief synopsis, Ash.
Yeah, this one ain't gonna be so brief because I went a little bit ham. Okay. So, there are now five monsters that are being controlled by a blackmailer that's blackmailing the Scarlet Gang and the White Flowers. And if they don't pay, a monster goes into the territory of either the Scarlet Gang or the White Flowers and kills people. The only thing they know about the blackmailer is that they're in the French Corridor. Roma is super duper angry with Juliet, and Benedict is hella depressed over what happened with Marshall. Marshall is acting like a masked vigilante, killing people that try to harm Benedict, and it's actually really, really cute.
So fucking cute.
Roma and Juliet's fathers decide to team up and send Roma and Juliet into the French Corridor to find the blackmailer. The only thing they find is a flyer that has been put under all of the doors talking about a cure. When they decide to go check it out, a White Flower associate is on the train, and he turns into a monster, letting out all of the bugs to kill people. Juliet has a hunch before he turns into a monster and starts to yell fire, and is able to get Roma out of the train car while she tries to shoot the monster. The monster ends up breaking a window and getting out, and Roma is scared that Juliet was killed, and when he gets back into the train car and sees her, he kisses her, and when she kisses back, he breaks the kiss. They get to the location of the vaccine and find a man that has one vial of the vaccine that he wanted to sell. They buy it, but they miss the last train back to Shanghai, so they find a brothel to spend the night in separate rooms, because why the fuck would you pass up a fucking chance on a wet bed trope? Okay. The walls are thin, and they can hear each other moving, and they each place their palms against the wall, and they can feel each other through the really thin wall. And that's how they fall asleep. Juliet wakes up to find someone stealing the vaccine. So they have to go buy the only other dose they know of before they get back to Shanghai. When they get back, Tyler and his cronies are setting a fire to a White Flower building with women and children inside of it. And this effectively ends the collaboration between the White Flowers and the Scarlet Gang. Juliet still wants to figure out the monster problem, and Roma won't answer her messages because he thinks she was in on what Tyler was doing. Juliet, Kathleen, Rosalind, and Lady Sai are all at a woman's temple, and Tyler and his friends are there for protection, while White Flowers start walking down the street. Before the altercation, Juliet sees Elisa, Roma's sister, and grabs her and runs out. Roma follows, and they end up fighting in an alley. Roma throws a knife, but his aim with throwing is really bad, so before he can hit Elisa, Juliet jumps in front of it. Roma stitches and bandages the wound, and they part ways. Fuck. This is, like, fucking with my eyes, bro. Tyler is hella sus, and he is having his people recreate the vaccine to send to only Scarlet Gang members, and that makes Juliet mad because she wants it to go to everyone. Juliet helps Roma break in and steal some of the vaccine so they can get it to the White Flowers as well, but the same night, the monsters break in and take all of the vaccine, leaving none for the Scarlet Gang. Tyler suspects Juliet of working with Roma, so he kidnaps Elisa and issues a deal against Roma. Due to the rules of the deal of the duel, Tyler gets the first shot, and he enlists Juliet to be his second or else be outed as a traitor. Benedict is Roma's second. Before the duel, Juliet tells Benedict that Marshall is alive, and they have this super duper cute reunion. At the duel, Juliet kills Tyler and his men before Tyler can shoot Roma, and a whole bunch of protests are occurring at the same time, so Tyler and his men's death are attributed to the protests. Roma is confused and wants to talk to Juliet, so Marshall, Benedict, and Elisa go to the White Flower safe house, and Juliet and Roma go to the safe house that Marshall's been staying in. Roma and Juliet get back together with a fade to black sex scene, but it was still super cute.
It was so fucking cute. At least we got that one scene.
I know. And chapter 40. Okay. The next morning, the protest was over and a bunch of people had died. When Juliet gets back to the house, she can't find her father or Rosalind, and the maid tells her that they're at the burlesque club. When she gets there, Rosalind is being whipped because she is the spy that has been leaking information to the White Flowers, but she won't say who she was telling the information to. Juliet intervenes and everyone goes back to the Psy house. Rosalind still won't talk, and Juliet is called away, so Rosalind runs away. I'm just realizing that I keep saying her name differently. Rosalind and Rosalind are the same person.
It's okay, we all understand. we all get it.
The blood feud is in high gear, and in the middle of a shootout, Rosalind shows up because she thinks she can control the monsters. Spoiler alert, she can't. And they knock her out and take her back to the safe. She's knocked out and taken back to the safe house by Roma, Benedict, and Marshall, and they send word for Juliet. Juliet finds a note that she saw Rosalind with before that has five names on it, one of which they found out was the monster on the train. When she gets to the safe house, they find out that the list of names are all Dimitri's men, Roma's cousin that wants to rule the White Flowers. And Dimitri is the blackmailer, but he can't be found. The safe house is stormed by General Shu and his men, and they take Marshall because he is General Shu's son. Juliet goes home, and when she does, she sees a note on her father's desk that says the Nationalists are going to perform basically a purge that will start at midnight to kill all of the White Flowers and the Communists. In order to hold this off, Juliet sends a letter to the general to pause the purge because Juliet killed herself. She runs to Roma's house to get Roma so that they can run away, but he isn't home, and she finds Elisa instead. She takes Elisa and they run to Lauren's lab to find Roma. Benedict overheard some members of the Scarlet Gang talking about how Juliet is dead, and when he tells Roma, Roma completely loses it. He runs to Lauren's lab while he's there. And while he's there, he wants to go out and fight because he doesn't feel like his life is worth living without Juliet. He holds a gun to his own head, and Juliet runs in, yelling at him to stop. Juliet tells them that she's able to get them out of the city before they all die, and Benedict goes to get Marshall from General Shu's house so that they can leave. Roma, Juliet, and Elisa spend the night at Lauren's lab/house, where Roma and Juliet have a sweet little marriage ceremony of just the two of them, where they tie rings on each other's fingers as rings. Marshall's trying to get his dad to hold off on the purge, and General Shu agrees to hold off for a couple hours. Benedict gets into General Shu's office, but when he hears the general and his men coming, he hides in the closet. Marshall goes to get something out of the closet and sees Benedict, but he plays it off and everyone leaves. Marshall then says that he can't go with Benedict, and Benedict declares his love for him, and it's seriously fucking adorable, and they leave to join Roma, Juliet, and Elisa. General Shu's people had received a note that was sent, intercepted. Nope. Okay. General Shu's people had intercepted a note sent by Kathleen to a fisherman to hold the boat and let Roma and Juliet on it. And when Roma, Juliet, and Elisa get to the ship to leave, they're found, and Roma, Marshall, and Elisa get taken and end up in Dimitri's care. Dimitri wants to kill them, but he's a dramatic bitch, so he waits, and that allows Juliet and Benedict to come up with a plan to kill all the monsters and Dimitri's men. They figure out, with the help of Rosalind, that the monsters need alcohol to transform, and alcohol is in gasoline. Juliet offers herself up in place of Elisa and Marshall, and Dimitri takes the deal. Benedict showers everyone with gasoline, and the monsters turn into monsters, releasing all of their bugs and freaking everyone out. Juliet sees a pile of the cure that Tyler helped make and remembers that it is super flammable, so she tells everyone to run and basically sets off a bomb, killing herself and Roma. The last chapter is from Elisa's point of view. She was listening to Roma and Juliet when they did their cute little marriage thing, and she forged a document that said that they had been married the whole time, which caused everyone to basically get over the blood feud. Elisa and Celia, formerly known as Kathleen, formerly known as Celia, are communist spies, and they talk about how important Roma and Juliet were with their beacon of hope for the people of Shanghai. Oh yeah, and Marshall and Benedict moved back to Russia, and they're living there together. The end.
All right.
That was a long one. I'm sorry, guys.
A lot happened in that book, so.
It did. Okay, Lexi. Tell me what your eyes look like today.
All right. So I have both eyes are green. One eye, there is a bug on the outer corners. And then my other eye is the same green, but it scales. Because I remember one part while I was reading it. They were explaining the skin on the monster, which was like green and scaly. So it's green, and then I drew in scales. Not the greatest, but I'm also, it didn't turn out horribly, so I'm actually very excited about it. So what does your face look like? Yours is really good. I love yours.
I like my one eye. The other one can go suck a dick.
They both look so good though.
So on one of my eyes, I basically drew the vial that the vaccine is in that they get from finding the cures while they're out trying to figure out who has the cure. So it's a blue shadow. It's really dark on the inner and outer corner and on the lid. And then I did like a little highlight on the top with a lighter blue that's sparkly. And then I outlined it in black eyeliner and put like a little cork in the top so that it looks like a little vial. My other eye is my favorite, and it's so, I'm obsessed with it. So obviously they go out in a fire. Okay. And so I basically recreated the fire. I did like a red all along my eye, and then it transitions into orange, like kind of towards the end of my eye, towards the end of my eyebrow. And then it turns into yellow as it goes farther out. I then used black eyeliner to kind of like give it a little bit of shape, and emphasize how like the flames are working. And then I used that also as like black eyeliner along my lash line to also kind of go out and give it that shape as well. And I also did a blue inner corner because I am a nerd and the hottest fires are blue. So
there we go. It looks really good. I love it. I love both of your eyes. They look so good.
Thank you. Worked really hard on them. All right, let's get into these discussion questions. All right.
Oh my god! I love that!
I know, right? Like, the whole time, I was like, what if this is, like, Romeo and Juliet, but, like, Marshall and Benedict? Like, Marshall fakes his death, and, like, right? All these things, like, I was like, it works, and then Marshall being the son of the general, like.
Technically, though, it was Juliet that faked Marshall's death, but I want a book about Marshall and Benedict so bad. They're just, so they're just fucking amazing together. I love it. I was, I kid you not, the squeal, I was sitting in my driveway, I was reading the rest of the book after I got home from work, the squeal that came out of my mouth, like, I was like, ah! And of course, at that time, there was people walking down the street, and I was just like, "No, I need."
I love it because Marshall was like, "I need to hear you say it again. I've been pining after you for 10 years just to hear it once." Like,
oh my god,
I love this man.
Oh, they were great. I want a book about them. I would read it in a heartbeat.
1000%.
Who did you think was the mole for the white flowers?
I definitely was not expecting Rosalind to be the mole. I mean, she was hella sus, but I was honestly thinking it's like, maybe it's Kathleen, maybe, like, because she very much identifies with the communist agenda. And it's stated, like, kind of throughout even the first book. So, like, I was like, maybe she is working with the White Flowers, but I was not expecting it to be Rosalind.
I kind of went back and forth with the two of them because they were both just kind of weird throughout this whole book.
Yeah,
but especially I totally agree. After like the Rosalind and Kathleen's exchange at the end of the last book, where Rosalind was really pissed off with her going to help Juliet.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, so those were my first two guesses because they were so sketchy throughout the whole thing.
My first guess was like, oh, it's just some rando, like some random servant. Because I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
One of my other thoughts was maybe it's Tyler and then he's going to try and pin it on Juliet.
Ooh. That didn't even cross my mind, but that's a good one.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. Because he was so, like, pushy about Juliet being the traitor.
Bro, he was. Let's get into Tyler a little bit. What were your thoughts on Tyler?
Thank God he died. Oh my God. I totally hated him. I think I texted you. I think it was right before he had died too. And I said, I swear somebody needs to kill this motherfucker. And you were like, wait, where are you at?
I know. And then,
like, the next chapter, I was like, oh, thank goodness.
It was so funny. Like, I was like, pause. Where are we at right now?
Bro, what did you? Oh, what?
I was fucking livid that he took Alisa. Okay, I was like, what is your fucking problem, dude? First, you want to kill Alisa while she's in a goddamn coma. Okay, she is a child. What is your fucking problem? And the whole time, like, I was like, just begging for Tyler to fucking die. Like, I was like, yeah. Please die, motherfucker.
Same. What did you think about Juliet shooting Tyler in front of everyone at the duel?
I honestly didn't see it coming because, like, I was like, what's going to happen? I was real nervous, okay? I was like, no, this can't happen. Like, Roma can't die. That's not how it goes. Like, in my head, I'm like, this isn't Romeo and Juliet. And then, like, she started, she shot him, and I was like, fuck yes. Thank God, because this man was a fucking dick.
I wasn't as shocked because of the position that he put himself in with Juliet. And so then it really pissed me off when he was so surprised that she shot him. And I was like, you've been a bastard the whole time. What did you expect?
Oh, yeah. Like, Tyler got on my nerves in this book when he, like, went against what Juliet was saying about giving the vaccine to everybody because, like, it's a problem for everyone, and they need to protect everyone in Shanghai, not just the Scarlet Gang-affiliated people. And then Tyler's like, no.
But that's where the gang gets the power. So I understand what he was saying, and when you're, like, in a gang-related situation, not saying it's right, but, like, his thought process is, well, this will give us absolute power.
And I hate that. Power's stupid. I say that because I don't have any.
Yeah, I was going to say you say that, but if you had power, you would be the same way.
What were your thoughts when Kathleen / Celia decided that she was going to stay and help the workers fight?
I was just honestly surprised that it took her that long to come to that conclusion. I saw it coming.
Yeah. And, like, I loved that for Celia. Like, mm-hmm. I thought it was phenomenal. Like, I was like, this is great.
Well, it was nice too because for her whole life she had to be Kathleen. She had to do all these things that she didn't want to do. Her purpose was helping Juliet and getting information for Juliet. So her being able to make this decision and do it for herself because she wanted to do that and help and be there for them, that was important for her.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Do you think that at the end of the book, Rosalind got redemption? Meaning when she went back to look for Celia, risking her own life to save hers for everything that she has done?
I want to say yes. I just have a really hard time with that because I don't like the whole traitor situation. And, like, I also feel I really liked that Rosalind got, like, she realized that Dimitri was playing her and that hurt her, but she still wanted to, like, make something right, like, make it right. So I feel like she got redemption from in Celia's eyes by going to help Celia and save her. But I feel like she got redemption overall by helping them figure out what it was that turned the monsters into monsters instead of men with the whole alcohol thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was really cool, but I'm a fucking science nerd, so.
I don't know. I have a little bit of mixed feelings because, well, it pissed me off that she was the traitor. I also, like, you know, she was convinced that she was in love with Dimitri and Dimitri had manipulated the fuck out of her. So that's, like, really sad. And it's like, oh, you know, she truly believed that, like, yeah, she was doing something that she had to do. But, and like you said, yeah, she got redemption in Celia's eyes. But as far as everyone else, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think I don't think anybody else is going to feel the same.
That's fair.
She fucked
fuck up real bad.
Yeah.
And, like, after she was outed for being the spy, so many things clicked for me. Like, I was like, oh my god, that's why she had that conversation with Tytler outside of the warehouse. And that's why, like, she's being real sus and, she's not talking to Celia and, like, all of this. Like, I was like, this makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe Marshall's dad when he said that he would delay the execution order?
No.
Nah, fuck him. He's a selfish bastard.
I don't know. I didn't believe anything out of his mouth, especially with the way he went about coming to get Marshall. I was like, he doesn't have anybody but his own, like, interests, like, in mind. So I didn't believe him at all. And it made me really mad that Marshall did. But at the same time, I understand where he wanted to believe his dad.
Yeah.
But no, I did not. Not a fucking chance. Do you think they had to die at the very end of the book, even though it is a Juliet and Romeo retell? That felt weird. Do you think they had to die at the very end of the book, even though it was a Romeo and Juliet retelling?
I have mixed feelings about this, okay? Because I will forever hate a book that kills the main character / characters at the end of the book, i.e. Allegiant, okay? It will never be reread for me. That being said, because this is explicitly a Romeo and Juliet retelling, I give it a little bit of leeway for having the main characters die. That being said, I am very glad that it wasn't a double suicide, that it was they both just died at the same time.
Saving their city.
Exactly. And it's really heroic and all that jazz. But, like, I was like, I just wanted them to keep going and have babies and live forever.
After their little marriage scene, I so badly was, like, hoping that, like, because I was hoping it would be more of, like, a very loose Romeo and Juliet retelling, like a lot of things the same, but they get to still live. So I was very unhappy. I knew what I was getting into, and that's the worst part, is I knew what I was getting into, and I was still fucking pissed.
I relate. Hold on, I have another question I want to ask in here.
Okay.
So, Chloe Gong is coming out with a new book, and it's based on Antony and Cleopatra, the Shakespearean play, I believe is what it is. And based on how she interpreted this Shakespearean play, do you think it's going to go really similar to how Antony and Cleopatra goes?
I'm going to be completely honest. I don't remember that Shakespeare play at all, so I have no idea. What do you think?
I mean, I've never fucking read the play or anything like that, but, like, my thought is she's going to stay really true to it, like, how she did in this. That's just my guess. Obviously, I've not read it.
I mean, with this one, it would make a lot of sense. for, like, with what we know about the author, but at the same time, how many times has an author that we know and love surprised the fuck out of us?
Oh my god. I could insert so many fucking author names right here. I can't
exactly.
even tell you.
Exactly. So, all right. Overall, final thoughts on the book?
I really liked it. I liked this book a lot more than I liked These Violent Delights. let me see what I gave it. Hold on. R Violent. So I gave this book a 4.5 out of 5 for stars. I really, really enjoyed this book. I think it does a really good job of getting people interested in Chinese history, first of all, as well as, like, it has a lot of, like, those little fantasy elements and, like, romance elements, but they're not overdone because it's YA. So I'm really looking forward to reading another book by her, especially this Antony and Cleopatra retelling, because I feel like it's going to be really good.
Yeah. I'm honestly surprised you gave it that high of a rating just because it's YA and you like the spice.
Exactly. And, like,
but like totally you said, like, we had talked about it, though, that one scene where they had their little marriage scene, we were both like, okay, I can get over the fact that there's no spice just for this scene.
Exactly. Okay, I will forever remember chapter 40 in this book because even though, like, it was severely lacking in spice, I feel like the relationship didn't necessarily need the spice to keep me engaged in it. And, like, that's not to say that other books need the spice to keep me engaged. No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like these characters were written in a way, because it's YA, to not need that extra element of their relationship.
Yeah, totally agree.
What are your thoughts?
I liked it. I mean,
Do you remember what you rated it?
No. I haven't. Okay, I'm, like, really bad. We already know this. You know this. I have an issue when it comes to remembering to actually go down and rate my books. I'm sure it was probably, so I probably like a 4 out of 5 or something like that. Here's my problem when I read books, unless it's really, really bad, I just love all of the books I read. So I pretty much give them all 5 out of 5s. I have issues.
I used to do that. I've gotten a little bit better at it because I'm like, is this kind of like a middle of the road kind of book where I enjoyed reading it, but, like, I could give or take reading it again? Or is it something that I really liked, but there were some elements that I didn't, or, like, that kind of thing? So that's kind of how I've, like, kind of shifted my scale just a little bit to where 2.5 is, like, a middle of the range book. 3, if it's, like, a middle of the range. But, like, 4s and 5s, I don't give out as much anymore.
But, all right, so this week we don't have current reads because we literally recorded another episode last night to try and our schedule got real fucked up. So I guess we could say what we're currently reading. I guess if you want to. What are you reading?
I am reading House of Sky and Breath. I'm about 100 pages in, so I've got quite a bit left. I also just barely, like, literally while we were setting up this pod, started 1% of You.
I'm so excited because I fucking love that book so goddamn much.
I've just read the prologue, okay, and I am shook as hell, so I'm excited to see what happens.
Okay, but after you finish that one, you need to read Things We Never Got Over, or Get Over. Oh my god, that one's so cute too. Okay, I'm reading Making the Cut. It is, oh gosh, hold on. Ashley sent this to me because I could not think of anything I wanted to read last night. So it's Making the Cut. It's a Sons of Templar MC book. It is book 1 by Anne Malcolm. I am on chapter 2.
Like we said, we just recorded one last night.
So.
All
right. Do you have anything to add? All right.
So, if you guys want to chat with us about this book or our makeup looks, see our makeup looks, if you literally just want to talk about anything, get pointers, whatever, you guys can hit us up on social media. It is TikTok at blues.library and Instagram at blues.library and blues.librarypodcasts. We'd love to see you guys all there, and you guys have a wonderful week.
Bye.